Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
Sodomites, and welcome to the Sinister Sissies podcast, your guide to true crime, horror, and everything man on man and macabre. I'm Jared, your master of depravity, and today we have a special guest. It's one of the Patreon supporters. It's a bit of a side plug for the Patreon. We have Ned Sayer, one of our wonderful Patreon supporters. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Jared. Great to be here.
Yeah, it's very, very exciting. If you want to donate to the Patreon, it is patreon.com/sinistersissies, I think.
Next, yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, that's
right. We'll double check. Yeah. I'll put a thing in the description. It'll be fine. Always good to get a listener on to review what is sometimes viewed as one of the most disturbing films ever made. Although I don't think it reaches that title, does it?
No, I was really expecting something a lot more disturbing. I sort of braced myself as I was watching. I was like, oh, it's... that it?
Yeah, maybe for its time, maybe for the 90s.
So, yeah. And especially the context of, you know, AIDS crisis and that sort of thing, I think maybe people were a bit more sensitive to it. But yeah, certainly now in 2019, I didn't feel it was that shocking.
Today's episode is on the film Frisk from 1995. It is kind of a drama film, horror,
yeah,
thriller.
A bit of everything.
Maybe a thriller. Yeah. Directed by Todd Vero and based on the 1991 novel of the same name by Dennis Cooper.
He was a ditzy androgynous angel, just like every guy I'd ever fallen for. I got wilder about him while during the sex instead of more tired or bored like you're supposed to. He was moaning. I was about to come when I picked up a bottle without even thinking and hit him over the head. He fell and shit all over my legs and the floor, which made me weirdly furious. I ground the broken bottle into his face, really twisting and shoving it in. Then I just sat there watching him bleed to death. I didn't phone the police or feel guilt or sympathy. I fantasized killing a boy. For so long, all the truth did was fill in details. I never felt less than amazed and relieved about the whole thing.
In brief, the film is a first-person narrative about an apparent gay serial killer named Dennis. We follow Dennis's life as he describes the disturbing, controversial, and violent exploits as he pursues various victims. I'll leave that there so I don't get too spoilery, but right off the bat, what did you think of Frisk?
Overall, I did like it. I felt that it could have gone so much more. I think like it was almost like
violence-wise or story-wise?
A bit of both, actually. Yeah, I felt that there was a lot of really interesting themes that were explored. The character development could have gone a bit further. I mean, I think at the time it was quite good, but I did get the sense that, because I knew that there was sort of a book that the movie was based on, I get the sense that the book sort of had a lot more of the story. I mean, it just felt that it was really, I guess, sort of uneven and a bit patchy in parts.
It's very much like a 90s indie film.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Todd Vero, who's the director, and I suppose screenplay writer, not the actual writer of the novel, of course, but screenplay writer, he started off doing camera work for, I believe, Greg Araki, who is another very famous indie queer filmmaker. So I imagine he's picked up that style, that very like artsy early 90s queer aesthetic.
Yeah, that's right.
I thought it was pretty good as well. I think there's a lot of issues with this film that when we get into the plot, I'll probably pick up. The acting isn't the best.
No, the acting is a bit...
There's one character that I think is good.
Who's that?
It's the pathetic one.
Yeah, that is Henry.
Henry.
Yes.
Yes, I thought that that actor was good. All of the other actors are a bit shit.
Totally agree. I was far more convinced by Henry than I was by other ones. I genuinely felt sympathy and empathy towards him. And I sort of really, I guess, sort of understood and felt what he was going through. Whereas the other characters, I wasn't really as taken by.
Yeah, very choppy acting. And a lot of the... I was looking at the IMDb for this. And a lot of the people that acted in this continued on in the film industry, but they continued on kind of as a screenwriter and things like that, not as an actor. It has a very nihilistic tone, which in Paul and I were discussing Dead Europe last week. I was talking about the fact that Christos Tsolkas, I was arguing that he couldn't really pull off a nihilistic tone. This film pulls off nihilism,
yes,
at least totally. In my mind. Mm. It takes a very non-judgmental approach to Dennis, our apparent serial killer, and his exploits.
I didn't understand what was happening in the pictures at first. Then I realized that he was dead, and not laughing or yelling. It was like someone had set off a bomb inside of him.
If you can find this film, I do recommend that you look at it. Legally, it might be quite tricky. I think it is still banned in Australia. It was at one point banned in Australia, and it's still banned in the UK. Doesn't deserve that ban. There's nothing to... Unless we watched like a cut version and something major got cut out, which I don't think we did. I don't think it deserves to be a banned film.
Certainly not.
So if you can get access to it, I would recommend having a look at that. But for those of you who aren't keen at watching the film but just like to listen to me describe the plot, I don't know why people enjoy that, but people do. So the film opens with Dennis, our apparent serial killer, writing a letter to his friend Julian and Julian's younger brother Kevin. Now this brother duo of Julian and Kevin are a bit weird, quasi-incestuous maybe?
Yeah, certainly towards the end of the film where you sort of that comes out a bit more, but yeah, it's a very strange dynamic.
There's a bit of brotherly love happening, potentially. It's very much hinted that that's what's going on. In this letter, Dennis is describing what seems to be his first murder. And Julian and Kevin are reading this letter and kind of in disbelief and don't think that he... they think he's full of shit, basically. Dennis begins speaking about how he discovered his... fantasy to do with sadomasochism. He talks about that he discovered it at a young age, at about the age of 13, when a local bookstore owner allowed him to look at explicit porn in terms of photographs. Gradually, the photographs that he was looking at got more and more explicit, more and more S&M in nature. And at one point, Dennis is shown what appears to be a snuff image of a boy with a plastic bag over his head. And this image is stuck in Dennis's mind, even since that young age, as being something that he really wants to pursue. And this is the beginning of his kind of sadistic fantasy. Fun fact, young Dennis is played by a guy named Marcus Ewert. And even though he's meant to be playing like a 13-year-old or 15-year-old in those flashbacks, he, at this time, was the final lover of William Burroughs. William Burroughs was in his, like, 70s or something.
Wow.
Yeah, that was his lover. And he was also a lover of Allen Ginsberg. They liked him young.
There you go. Yeah, very young. Wow.
Dennis, how old are you?
18.
No, I mean, really.
I don't know. 15?
We then cut back to the present, and this is when we're introduced to Henry. Henry is our very pathetic and masochistic character in the film. We were saying earlier that we thought he was well acted. And Unfortunately, it's because I feel like I've met a Henry before.
I think so. He's quite a pathetic character. And I don't mean that pejoratively, but you did feel for him because it's almost like he didn't have enough love growing up. So every single time he would hook up with someone, it was like, you know, how could I be better? Did you like me?
Yeah, he would finish every hookup with, if you could change one thing about me, what would it be?
Yeah, this constant yearning for validation. And yeah, just really felt sorry for him because it's, yeah.
And he seems sweet. He seems sweet. I was going to say something more pejorative. I was going to say he seems realistically pathetic. He does seem like someone who is wanting connection. Like those people that are that constantly view themselves as not living up to enough and wanting that external validation was very, I don't know, I thought that was a very well-crafted character.
Yeah,
despite a whole bunch of cardboard cutout weird hot men, Henry was the most well-developed.
I think he felt like the most real character out of the entire cast.
So we meet Henry. He hooks up with a guy. Every time two guys hook up in this movie, without any context, there's always some like blood involved.
Mm.
Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did. It was really
like it would just cut and there would be glass and blood.
Yeah.
It's as if like just fucking involved cutting each other.
Yeah, especially way back then.
So this wasn't even set up as being like an S&M scene.
That's right.
It's just like it was meant to be like a regular
As a matter of guy. Course.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's just covered in blood.
Mm.
Which is weird. Julian meets Henry at this party and he gets Henry's number. We then cut to a scene of Julian and Dennis hooking up. This is where we get this incestuous vibe because Julian and Dennis are hooking up and Julian is describing his brother Kevin. He's describing a conversation he had with his brother where he asked, "Would you think I was sexy?" to his brother. And again, this tone, this weird incestuous tone just kind of sits over the top of these conversations.
Yeah, and it sort of came out of nowhere as well in terms of it's not clear how and why this sort of happened, but it's just bang, in your face.
Yeah. Bit of incest.
Yeah.
It's like a little season on top.
Mm.
Bit of incest season. We then, a little bit later, see Julian and Dennis hooking up with Henry. During this, we get the more artsy part of the film where Dennis starts going on rants about skin and how skin acts as a barrier to knowing someone.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he starts talking about like odors and how they would rate different odors.
Now, this is the part that always fucks me over. I wanted him, specifically his skin, because that's the only thing available. But I've had enough sex with enough guys to recognize how little skin can explain about anyone. So I get into this rage about how stingy skin is. I mean, skin's biggest reward, sperm, is only great because it's a message from somewhere inside. I was pretty sure that if we were able to tear him open, we would know him as well as anyone could. Remember how we used to rank body odors? Asshole. Profound. Crutch. Overrated. Hands. Underrated. Feet. Nice. Mouth. Profound. Hair. Underrated. Armpits. Too blatant.
At this point, after they hook up, Dennis realizes that Henry was actually the dead boy that he saw in the photographs as a teen. Henry said, yeah, he used to do those photographs just kind of casually. And then they arranged to meet up at a later date. Julian leaves for Paris. Henry and Dennis hook up, but Dennis doesn't find it very satisfying. After Julian leaves, Dennis develops a curiosity about Kevin and begins to have a relationship with Kevin. Again, describing this incestuous relationship between Kevin and Julian, but they start a relationship together.
Yeah. And it's almost as if Dennis was, I guess, upset, shitty that Julian left him. So it felt like he was
getting back at him.
Yeah, fucking Kevin, just to get back at him.
Ah.
But I got the sense that Dennis felt abandoned, which is why he went for Kevin. Because,
but Kevin's the hotter one.
If I had to describe Kevin in one word, I would say hysterical, insecure, freaked out, and very, very young.
Eventually, Dennis also leaves the area and goes to San Francisco. Once in San Francisco, Dennis begins hooking up with a porn star named Horace. He hires him as an escort. He has very frank discussions with Horace about wanting to kill him, and Horace doesn't seem too worried by it or doesn't take it too seriously. There is a bit of a sexy scene, though, where, like, Dennis asks Horace to spit in his mouth. This is a very graphic little sexual bit. Also, they have a kind of call me by your name thing where Horace goes to the bathroom and Dennis says, whatever you do in there, don't flush.
Yeah, that was a bit, yeah. It didn't really seem in context for the film.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
We learn a bit more about Horace. He has a girlfriend but is working as an escort. We follow him in his day-to-day activities. He meets this, what is ostensibly meant to be this, like, family man in glasses. But it's played by, like, a 22-year-old actor.
Yeah, who was very clearly dressing up in his dad's dad's suits. Yeah.
I don't think that was on purpose. It's probably just whoever they could get.
Yeah, that's right.
Dennis, midway through one of their hookup sessions, says that he read about what happened to Henry in the news. And this is where we hear that Henry is actually dead. We flash back to Henry hooking up with a dom who is known for kind of beating the shit out of his subs. In his dungeon, the dom says something like, I usually have these urges to kill people, but something always stops me. But it's not there with you. And then this dog ends up stabbing Henry to death.
Very graphically.
Very graphically. And I thought that was an interesting little turn.
It was.
Introduced this pathetic, you know, sympathetic character. I should stop saying pathetic. That's a bit mean.
Yeah.
Sympathetic character. Yeah. And then to then kill him off in this really brutal way. Dennis doesn't seem that fazed by this. He just hears about it, and all he seems to worry about is that he didn't have a chance to kill Henry or explore those fantasies further.
Yeah, if anything, that was the thing he was most upset about was that, oh, it wasn't me that actually pushed the knife in.
Dennis continues to describe his fantasies, that he wants to kill someone and he wants to fulfill those fantasies that he saw in those photographs when he was younger. He hooks up with this skinhead guy and smashes a bottle over his head. He hooks up with this kind of blonde twink named Finn and drops candle wax on him. But again, it's unclear that he actually goes through and actually kills him. Meanwhile, as he's exploring these fantasies or describing these fantasies, he's writing them in a letter to Horace. And Horace and Horace's girlfriend start talking about the fact that, well, if this guy ends up actually killing someone, we can make some money from that. Finally, we get the first implication that Dennis actually kills someone. He hires a guy, a straight guy, and says, I'll pay you a certain amount of money to lick your ass or something like that. And the voiceover describes strangling this man to death, although we do not see it on screen.
That's right. And this is sort of part of the this issue with this film is where we don't really know what's actually happening in real life, what's happening in the flashback, what's happening in the fantasy. It is really unclear.
I felt like it's over. I know what I need to know. And all this other pretentious stuff. I felt so clean and asexual. But every answer just starts another question brewing or something.
side weird, very 90s tangent. We also have this point where Horace returns home back to his girlfriend, and he looks troubled, goes into the bathroom, and then the TV, the presenter on the TV starts talking about the fact that Horace has been exposed to HIV, or potentially has been exposed to HIV, and then Horace takes a shower. I don't know. It's all very, like... I thought they did that scene, and then Horace, in reference to Dennis's letters, starts talking. He says, I'm so sick of this sexy death shit, which I don't know if that was, like, an ironic joke about the film talking about the sexy death shit, or...
Yeah, I thought it was maybe a broader social commentary, mainly about sort of the AIDS scare of the late 80s/early 90s. But yeah, it's that's how I sort of read that.
But it does it in a kind of jokey way, though.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
which makes me think that, like, he was almost, because like every gay film in the early 90s had to throw in a HIV
and
storyline. And I think it's kind of making fun of it a little
true.
Bit.
True. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
The only reason I think it's meant to be a bit joking is that we have Horace and the girlfriend that are having a conversation, and then he says the line about sexy death shit, and then it just halts, and they stare at each other for like 20 or 30 seconds. Or maybe it's not that long.
It felt like a long time.
It was odd.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was meant to be funny or whether that was just bad filmmaking.
It's probably the latter.
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
After his first big kill, for some reason, Dennis then says that he didn't get much satisfaction from it and he needs accomplices/witnesses. Now, this is another thing where I think it's meant to be a bit funny. Like, I don't think we're supposed to take this too seriously, because Dennis apparently just meets this sadist couple.
Yeah, that was an issue I had in terms of this couple just appeared out of nowhere, but they very conveniently have the exact same fetishes, desires, interests as Dennis, which is pretty random in and of itself.
Well, you get the impression that he just put in like a classifieds ad for serial killers.
Yeah.
And they were just like, ah.
And then this couple just comes in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of which is played by, is it Posey Parker?
Yeah.
Editing Jared here. I fucked up. It's actually Parker Posey. I think Posey Parker is some sort of like right-wing commentator. Anyway, whoopsie, Parker Posey.
Yeah, I know she's big and I've definitely seen her in things, but I don't know what she's most well-known for.
I couldn't, pick her in something specific, but yeah.
She's a side character. I know she's in Scream 3.
Yeah, right.
There you go, that's all I know her from. Anyway, quite a big name actress in a, weird indie gay film. The man and woman talk about the fact that Dennis hasn't disposed of the body yet, and so they want to go see it at his apartment. Dennis, this is very important, Dennis says that the body is in the attic. And then they talk about the fact that that's a really bad idea, and they say that they're going to help him out disposing the body that's in the attic. After that, they kind of have a bit of a throuple, is that the word for it?
Team.
They join forces, and they bring back a heroin dependent guy, played by a pre-transition Alexis Arquette. The drug addicted guy notices that there's three of them and starts freaking out a bit and says that he needs to get need some drugs to get a bit more strung out. And again, weird, absurd scene where the couple are kind of torturing and playing with this guy.
Yeah, I think that was probably one of the more unsettling parts of the film where it really, it sort of give him the drugs / inject him with the drugs. And then, they really sort of play with him like he's a rag doll. It's very unsettling.
Hi!
Hey!
Hey,
baby!
Hi, sweetie. Sweetie?
Yeah.
Move around. He's awakening! Oh my god!
No.
Let's
go now.
No, you don't. La 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 la. La la la.
Come on, I changed my mind. Come on. I don't want to.
I gotta go. And I suppose this is playing with that sadistic desire, and it's like, this is what this is. And so the tone shifts a little bit.
It gets darker. Yeah.
And it particularly starts getting awful when Dennis throws him down and starts stuffing cash into his ass and starts fucking his ass with cash and then throwing the cash in his mouth. Like, it's very
graphic.
I think that might be the scene.
Yeah.
That might be the limit for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because it was sexually graphic. I think they show everything.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's quite a sexually graphic scene. And he's being horribly raped. They then string him up and cut him.
Yeah, no, you're right. We don't see him being killed.
I think we see him slightly cut up and then he's taken down.
That's right. And then it's a bit up in the air, so what happened to him?
Yeah, and so then it's open-ended. Mm. Although we do see more with this kill than we did the previous one.
Yep.
Yeah. We then have a scene where the thruple, I'm going to stop saying that because I can't say that properly, where the three of them capture what is viewed as a young boy played by the actor who plays young Dennis.
Oh, there you go.
I only noticed that on a rewatch. Wow. Because he talks about that he's so young and that he really wants to open him up to understand him.
Yeah.
So that kind of had some different layers when I rewatched it and realized it was the same actor. This seemingly new character played by the same actor is tied up. He's essentially put in like a Where's Wally looking mask thing. They talk about his age, and then there are descriptions of the violence, but we don't see clearly him being killed. Although there is because they're filming him on a camera.
Yeah.
There are like flashes of images of different things, but we never quite see.
That's right. It's very blurry. It's hard to make out. It's almost like you're on an Android phone.
But there is a single screen. Did you notice that? The single screen slice of the three of them standing covered in blood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we assume that.
Yes.
They've
killed him. That this is someone that exists. We then cut to Julian and Kevin coming back to their hometown on the train. And Julian gets some random guy's number just approaching him on the train. That's never happened to me. Has that ever happened to you?
No.
No.
It seemed very convenient.
Yeah, I was like, this would be a great thing that happened. It's like when you see in these like high school films where there's like all the young gay guys are like having sex with lots of people. I was like, I wasn't having sex with anyone in fucking high school. Anyway, they meet back up with Dennis. Again, despite the fact that they've read this letter from Dennis describing graphic murders, they're not that troubled by him. They go check out Dennis's apartment. And this is where we get the first indications that Dennis's letters might have been a bit of a lie. Julian, I believe, asks, "Where's the attic?" And Dennis replies, "Well, I did embellish things a little bit," which is interesting. Kevin randomly decides to take a nap.
Mm.
But then whilst he's napping, sees the ghost of the final victim / young Dennis.
Yes.
Who has this conversation with him that says things like, it's like Dennis was on this quest or something. But the only people who found something were the guys who hooked up with him.
Dennis respected my fantasies. He had some pretty weird ones himself.
It's like Dennis was on this quest or something. A really stupid one. He wanted to kill people to get answers. But it's like the only ones getting answered were all those guys stupid enough to go home with him. I assure you, I'm a lot smarter now that I'm dead.
Kevin then wakes up with his brother and Dennis on either side of him, and I was like, this is going to get...
And he's lost his shirt.
Yeah, exactly, everything has a bit of a sexy subtext to it. Not subtext, it's text. Text, just text. Julian then decides to hook up with the young guy in the train with Dennis, and then poor Kevin has to like wait outside whilst they have sex with him. During this like threesome that Julian and Dennis have, Julian's kind of goading him on that, like, yeah, you should kill him, like in your letters. Dennis doesn't do anything. We then get a point where Kevin is jealous of his brother and says, you've had plenty of time with Dennis, I need to be alone with Dennis.
And he tells Julian just to fuck off. Yeah. And that's when it's my time now.
Yeah. And then the final, well, the ending of the formal part of the film is we see Kevin getting tied up, just like the snuff photographs that we saw at the start, getting tied up with arms behind his back and the plastic bag over his head, and Dennis begins taking photographs. There's a point where Kevin's arms get untied and he's not moving for a long period of time, and you're like, oh shit, Kevin's dead. And then his leg moves slightly.
That's right.
And then it's left ambiguous. And it's just Dennis taking photographs.
That's right. And then you see the backdrop and there's flash of photography, and you actually still have no idea as to what's actually happened.
Which was a good ending.
Which was a great ending.
Until I watched this for I think maybe the fourth time that I've ever watched this. And I was like, wouldn't it be funny if there was an after credit scene? Fucking after credit scene.
Do not watch the after credit scene. It ruins the movie.
It does. In which Kevin gets up and kisses Dennis at the end, and it's all fine.
They all live happily ever after.
Why is that in the movie? That's terrible.
It's awful. Yeah. It's doesn't suit at all.
Because, okay, so I think if we ignore that after credit scene, I think the end of the movie is deliberately ambiguous, like American Psycho, exactly what we're talking about, in that, is this all a fantasy? Is this all made up? Or did this really happen? That's an interesting dynamic to play with.
I guess sort of what really made it appealing was that you genuinely don't know what happened. Mm. And you got this sense that if Dennis was to kill Kevin, that would almost be the perfect ending, because you could almost argue that's what Kevin wanted, because he was so fascinated with what was going on.
Mm.
And that'd be brilliant. But now, it just seems so convenient.
I think if you like the early 90s queercore movement, which is a very niche film movement that I'm hoping to cover more of here. So things like The Living End is a big one. Totally Fucked Up by Greg Araki. Araki? Araki. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
No. Anything by Bruce the Bruce is big in this scene as well. They all have this kind of, again, post-AIDS view of sexuality, which is, I always find really refreshing, because it's never, like these days, a view of sexuality, and it's not, I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but it's all very like cheery and nice, and there's no conflict and everything works out fine, and there's no struggle and all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Which is maybe simplifying things a little bit too much on the positive side, as opposed to a lot of the queercore movement. They were very pro their sexuality, but they viewed their sexuality as like deeply flawed or having these complex elements to it, which is why I think this film is kind of about him being burdened by his own desires.
It was never straightforward to be gay.
No. But like, it's more interesting. All these films always kind of just say, like, well, we're better than heterosexuals because we're more interesting. But interesting, but complex.
That's right, yeah.
Mm.
Thank you to Ned for joining me. I'd like to do a call out for people to support the show on Patreon. You can support the Cinecissies podcast for as little as $3 per month. And it really helps ensure that this show continues on and I can spend a lot more time producing it. You can follow Cinecissies on Twitter and Facebook at Cinecissies. You can follow my personal account at Jared Bartle. That's Jared with a Y. Have a look at the Patreon to see if it's something that you're interested in. There are already some perks up there, and I am open to suggestions. Also, give the podcast a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. That helps out the show tremendously.
Until next time, stay sinister.